On Tuesday, April 2nd, reporters congregated around a makeshift podium in the hallway outside the ballroom of the Bone Student Center at Illinois State University. They were there to mark the start of an organizing drive by the ISU Non-Tenure Track Faculty Association. This union, affiliated with the Illinois Education Association and National Education Association, aims to address the shortfalls encountered by NTTs on the job in the classroom. Lack of job security, the absence of any official grievance policy or procedure, a lack of consistency regarding NTT faculty participation in professional and curriculum development, interruptions in health coverage for NTTs, and inequities in pay are among the issues that the union is raising in its education campaign. Gretchen Knapp is an NTT faculty member and a spokesperson for the Faculty Association.
So today we are launching our organizing drive because we have come to believe that collective bargaining is the only mechanism sufficient to ensure that non-tenure-track faculty have a guaranteed and authoritative voice in campus policies and matters of faculty well-being. Non-tenure-track faculty want and deserve more respect, the kind of respect that only collective bargaining can guarantee.
The organizing drive follows in the wake of a union election among tenured and tenure-track faculty 2 years ago, a proposal which was narrowly defeated by a 52% to 48% margin. The non-tenure-track faculty do enjoy support from their colleagues, however. Dr. Curtis White is a professor of English and chair of the Academic Senate at ISU.
I came to this institution 22 years ago as a non-tenure-track faculty member. I'm now a tenured full professor. Unfortunately, unhappily, not all stories for non-tenure-track faculty are as happy as that one. The condition for non-tenure-track faculty 22 years ago was unfair, and it's unfair today. In my opinion, the problem isn't that anybody in particular, whether in the administration or among the tenured faculty, has it in for non-tenure-track. The problem is that non-tenure-track faculty are vulnerable. And in difficult times, as we're in now, they are especially vulnerable. So I very much support and encourage their efforts to create representation and organization so that they can have the fairness that I have sought for them at this campus for over 22 years.
The university made no strong statement on the unionization drive. Jay Groves is the media relations director at ISU.
President Buscini had, in reaction to the press conference that some members of the non-tenure-track faculty held about a unionization drive, said that the non-tenure-track faculty members are a very diverse group and a very important group at Illinois State University and make significant teaching accomplishments to the university. And he also said that whether they decide to unionize, obviously, is strictly up to them. And he hopes that they make the decision, getting the best information possible, and going from there.
The kickoff press conference was scheduled concurrently with the meeting of the Illinois Board of Higher Education, a body appointed by the governor and charged with the oversight of all public colleges and universities in Illinois. Among the items on their agenda was the acceptance of a report commissioned by the General Assembly titled All Faculty Matter. This report was designed to look at the situation of non-tenure-track faculty in publicly funded higher education. While the report does make recommendations that university administrators should establish practices to, quote, eliminate inequities among non-tenure-track faculty of similar responsibilities and profiles, end quote, and, quote, ensure that the balance between tenured, tenure-track, and non-tenure-track is educationally appropriate, unquote, it does not mandate large-scale changes in practice. Quote, few non-tenure-track faculty believe that they are mistreated. Indeed, the survey data show that non-tenure-track faculty are slightly more satisfied overall with their jobs than tenured, tenure-track faculty, end quote. Ed Duffy is a member of the Illinois Board of Higher Education and co-chair of the committee that produced the report.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the study certainly speak for themselves, but let me speak for a moment about the process that was used to come to these conclusions. For those of us that don't work on a daily basis in higher ed, I think the expectations of what would come out of this study were far different. I think we expected to see far more people that were dissatisfied with their work. I thought we expected to see situations where there was disorganization and problems that existed in all of the state's colleges and universities because of what was perceived to be, or what was reported to be, an over-reliance on part-time staff. The fact is, however, that that the from the very beginning it didn't point that out, which caused me to pay more attention, frankly, to the process than to the outcome, because I was suspect at first of what we were finding, and then after getting into it and understanding a little bit better, I began to understand it better. I think the staff did a remarkable job. I think there are those that will be critical of this because their expectation of the outcome is far different. I understand that, but let me assure them, at least from my perspective, that this process was undertaken in a way in which we could prove their feelings rather than trying to disprove their feelings, and that wasn't the case.
Strong criticisms of the report were registered both inside and outside of the chamber. During the press conference, Gretchen Knapp spoke to the discrepancies that the non-tenure-track faculty association were finding between their own self-study of ISU non-tenure-track faculty and the survey results that formed the foundation for the IBHE report.
The IBHE report stated that most non-tenure-track faculty say they are treated fairly in compensation, but our preliminary results have found that over 70% of our respondents are not satisfied with their salaries. We wonder how many of the non-tenure-track faculty the IBHE identified as satisfied belong to faculty unions, like our colleagues at Northern Illinois University, Eastern Illinois University, Western Illinois University, Chicago State University, Governor State University, and other schools. The IBHE report also stated that most non-tenure-track faculty have full-time jobs elsewhere and moonlight at colleges and universities for supplemental income. But according to the preliminary results of our study, less than 10% of our respondents are employed full-time outside the university. Teaching students is our primary job, not something we do on the side for pin money or beer money, if you prefer. This fact is more important when you consider that the proportion of women employed off the tenure track is double that of women employed on the tenure track. 60% of non-tenure track faculty here at ISU are female, while only 30% of the tenured or tenure track faculty here are female. Besides equitable salaries and access to health benefits, our respondents voiced concerns barely discussed by the IBHE report. Our respondents overwhelmingly wanted greater job security, multi-year contracts, a standardized workload, and a voice in curriculum development and shared governance. Over 30% of the university's temporary faculty have been employed here 5 years or more, and that's hardly what anyone would call temporary.
Inside the hall, IEA NEA organizer Peter Miller lambasted the report in his testimony before the IBHE.
The report's conclusions are weak, suggesting only that a second lower-tier wage scale be established for part-time faculty. This is a principle that I find it hard to get behind. I believe in equal pay for equal work, and just because someone's working part-time seems to be a bad justification for paying them less than someone else doing the same work. It also recommends that colleges and universities monitor the proportion of non-tenure-track faculty, conduct a study, that educational institutions write policies for non-tenure-track faculty, that professional development be provided, etc. And I'm disappointed, and I feel that these amount to weak platitudes that will do little or nothing to change trends in the usage of non-tenure-track faculty. At ISU alone, an institution that the report cites as a model institution, 6 years of study, 6 years of attention have not produced significant improvements in non-tenure-track faculty treatment, only more study. Indeed, over that past 6 years, the number of non-tenure-track faculty has risen by 70%. 70% increase in the use of non-tenure-track faculty, while the use of tenure-track faculty has increased by only 1.3%. IBHE will only embarrass itself by endorsing 6 years of study as an example of best practice. One has to wonder what we would expect from an institution that had good practice or even average practice. The survey on which many of the recommendations are based also deserves some criticism. In academic writing, journal articles are approved or rejected after being reviewed by a group of peer researchers. The study that you're being asked to approve today was not subject to peer review. However, a group of IA leaders, the Higher Education Council, which was mentioned just briefly a moment ago, did offer a critique of the study. And this is the closest thing to a referee's report that the Board of Higher Education may see. And in it, the Higher Education Council rejects the study, citing deficiencies in research design, ambiguous use of language, omission of literature citations where those citations disagree with the author's thesis, and a lack of justification for the report's conclusions. The IEA Higher Education Council notes that the study compares poorly with another study undertaken in California, and anecdotal information supports the idea that this is not a well-constructed study. Internet surveys and phone surveys don't guarantee confidentiality for the respondents. The state legislature passed House Joint Resolution 19 because legislators were concerned by the rapid growth in the use of non-tenure-track faculty, faculty who lack academic freedom, who do not participate in governance, and faculty who don't enjoy tenure. The legislature recognized that those are the keys to creating an intellectually active academic community, and those keys are being lost. Again, I remind you that at Illinois State, the non-tenure track faculty population has risen by 70% since 1996, while the tenure track positions have risen by only 1.3%. The study and the recommendations do not address the seriousness of this change. They suggest that everything is fine and that only minor changes are needed. I do not believe that the citizens of the state or that the state legislature would agree, and indeed non-tenure track faculty themselves do not agree. On behalf of the Illinois Education Association, I request that board members vote against this report. They reject the report in its present form.
Despite the critiques, the report was accepted and its recommendations adopted to return to the General Assembly.
It's been moved and seconded that the committee report and recommendations of the committee to study non-tenure track faculty. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it.
While Victor Bashini, president of ISU, refers to the non-tenure-track faculty as a very diverse and very important group, its tremendously accelerated expansion of 70% over the past 5 years serves notice that there are forces driving this growth. The American Association of University Professors recommended in 1993 that, quote, no more than 15% of total instruction, unquote, be assigned to non-tenure-track faculty. 40% of the faculty at ISU are non-tenure-track, and even taking into account J. Grove's observation that the part-time status of many non-tenure-track faculty reduces the overall percentage of total instruction by non-tenure-track faculty to 25%, this is still a much higher proportion than the AAUP recommends. John K. Wilson's front-page article, Invisible Faculty in the Indy, an alternative newspaper based at Bloomington Normal, drives home the point that the forces driving the expansion of non-tenure-track faculty are economic in nature. Quote, Lou Perez, ISU's Director of General Education, observes, quote, obviously, in the perfect universe, all instructors would enjoy the employment security afforded by tenure. It is regrettably not so. All colleges and universities function only with the help of NTTs. Their employment gives ISU flexibility in scheduling to meet unforeseen needs and exigencies, unquote. However, when 40% of the faculty is made up of NTTs, it is hard to imagine that flexibility is the sole reason for existence. A much bigger reason is money. The IBHE found that at Illinois universities, full-time equivalent median salaries in fall 2000 were $31,100 for tenure-track faculty, $15,200 for full-time NTTs, and $13,100 for part-time NTTs. In other words, regular faculty got paid twice as much to teach as full-time NTTs. If these rough numbers apply to ISU's 457 NTTs, ISU would save approximately $4,400,000 a year in salary by using NTTs, not to mention the substantial savings in benefits, office space, and other costs. The IBHE estimated that equalizing pay between NTTs and tenure-track faculty would require $62 million a year at state universities and $196 million a year at community colleges in Illinois. There is no firm timetable for the unionization effort at ISU. Faculty organizers will spend the next month talking union with their fellow workers and finishing the self-study, which is only in its preliminary stages. Given the tepid mandate handed down by the IBHE to university administrators, collective bargaining seems to be the only way that non-tenure-track faculty can rectify grievances about their working conditions. Reporting for the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, I'm Michael Feltus.